It's like, yeah, well, I mean, that's great. Like,
Yeah. But I think that does, this is nothing sort of new that we have. Like, it's not a new thing for us to talk about, but it does feel like
I
there
would.
are
Oh, sorry.
perpetually calls to liberals and, like, oh, like, I'm still seeing Twitter posts about let's go to the No Kings rally and I'm bringing
Oh
zines.
my God. Well,
I see
yeah,
them.
crime thing called for it. They were like, this is our chance.
Yeah, like, and we've talked about that enough. I still see that though locally of like, I'm going to go to the No Kings rally and bring these zines and agitprop, or even the last one, somebody like made a fuss and brought a banner that said, "We told you so," but
Oh
why
wow.
are you
Super.
telling people
Yeah, don't
so?
tell people shit. I don't care. I'm at the No Kings rally. I'm looking for Hung DL trade at the No Kings rally. Remember that one No Kings rally where like the Antifa person got shot?
Yes.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
Why does it feel
Somebody
like
was.
the I know we have like re not recorded that often, but I feel like I'm like degaussing and I'm just like, oh, I fucking forgot about all these like stupid things that happened in the last few months.
Somebody, yes. Yeah, so, what, like a peacekeeper literally shot someone, and that also gets memory hold, right? So. Okay.
Did that guy die?
Yeah, somebody literally died from being shot by a fucking peacekeeper, whatever, at a No Kings rally, and it turned out that the guy who was shot had come as his own attempt to, like, peacekeep and was open carrying for that reason, and we just never have heard about it again, presumably because there's a certain amount of intent you have to prove with a crime, but I don't fucking know, man.
Well, at least everything was peaceful.
At least, yeah, it was,
Sorry.
what was Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's brutal. What I was gonna say too is like people always talk about like this stupid like theatrics of like I want to point out the absurdity and stuff and like that means like I'm going to like you know I'm gonna do like the equivalent of like the inflatable frog and it's like oh the state's gonna like surely they'll feel absurd like the state will feel absurd about like beating up the like inflatable frog and stuff and
It's all about optics, right?
it's so
It's
stupid.
about. I don't see much that's
I feel like
moving on from
absurdity.
that.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, it's dead in the water. It's just going to be viral clips from here on down. I mean, it never was more than anything than that. It's just dumb. I feel like people always like think that absurdity is just like an expression of like ironic detachment, like an idiocracy type thing, and like that absurdity isn't like an expression of like the like absolute horror of a thing, like an incomprehensibility. Like an indescribable terror or dread at like the machinery of like Moloch or whatever is like an expression of absurd that is not just like a kind of like sneering like liberalist or like you know, liberalism like a sneering like kind of like ironic detached sort of like what if we wear like the big inflatable dinosaur suits and
yeah,
stuff.
It's the whole pursuit of, like, it's very American, isn't it? The idea that you're supposed to go to the protest as some expression of self, self-fulfillment and have fun, and you're just going to talk about how you feel, and it makes you feel very sad that people are being deported. You feel very sad that people are having, like, their fucking human rights stripped away.
Yeah. I mean, there are, like, theatrical, like, and absurd and kind of humorous protests and stuff in other countries, and, like, that were effective, too, like, the whole, you know, the, fucking the Santas and stuff in, like, the, mm-hmm. was that the 70s or 80s? Like,
yeah.
The, like, kind of economic, like, expropriations and stuff done by the Santa Clauses, or, like, the kind of, like, the Provos and stuff like that. Like, things that were, like, I don't know. I mean, even, like, I was talking to Petra on the phone this week earlier, and we were talking about, like, the Tutte Bianche in, like, Italy, and, like, the G8 protests around, like, Genoa, and, like, the kind of ramping mm-hmm. up to that around, like, 2001 or so. And, like, as much as, like, they were, you know, kind of, like, oh, like, the pacifists or whatever, I mean, they were, like, yeah, I guess they were pacifists, but, like, they were pacifists that were also, like, physically putting their body on the line to, like, be engaged by the police, like, kinetically and, like, mm-hmm. confrontationally, and, like, were building, like, shield walls to do, like, counter-kettling and stuff like that. And they had, like, a kind of uniformity and, like, a kind of a theatricness or, like, a kind of, like, surreality of themselves, like, all being, like, in white, where they were called, like, the ghosts of Genoa and stuff, and that kind mm-hmm. of, like, the fantasmi sort of idea as, like, this expression of the absurd and stuff, but it wasn't, like, I don't know. Like, that's theatrical, but it is still, like, kind of direct and, like, visceral in a way that's, like, embodied and, like, sincere. And I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm armchair quarterbacking the fucking, like, inflatable frogs at the fucking Portland ICE protests. So, like, I don't care that much because, I don't know, I kind of wish that, like, I love a good bit of, like, theatrical, like, you know, like, street theater weaponized into direct action that is, like, mm-hmm. genuinely, like, kind of disruptive and confrontational. And I think that is, like, a legacy of, like, the kind of post-war, like, the 60s between, like, the U.S. and, like, Europe and Japan and stuff, like, all these, like, kind of incredible examples and stuff. But I think there's just, it's such a, I don't know, like, such a degraded kind of, like,
there's,
like, a degraded version of it now.
Well, I was also going to say there's a difference between that and part of the point of that theatricality is a rupture in what is a sort of a slow, horrible way of living.
Yeah.
Do you follow this? Like, what's going on with ICE right now feels much more accelerated and much less like this. You're not punctuating stagnation mm-hmm. with the absurd. You're in a accelerated, or at least, well, okay, maybe not accelerated because, yeah, this has been going on a while, but you're in a just a different situation than dealing with the stagnation and the fucking tedium of everyday life and this moment of revolt that explodes out of that versus something you're trying to do. I hate saying, like, in solidarity, but you're but with the ICE protest, you're presumably standing against something a little more intense in its degree of repression. So yeah. It feels obscene to me to just, you know, yeah. go, oh, well, we're funny frogs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are just, like, decrying, like, that expression as being, like, oh, this is, like, what happens when you, like, get close to, like, liberals. But, like, I don't... I mean, aside from the few anarchists that I think do carry out actual, like, armed or, like, sabotage, like, armed attacks or sabotage on these facilities and stuff, or, like, mm-hmm. significant, like, blockadings and stuff of them, and that sort of thing, like, I don't think there's, like, I mean, I'm sure that, like, one could not probably, like, one could probably, like, reach into that formation of, like, people dancing, like, their yoga protest or whatever, and probably pick out a couple anarchists out of that. Maybe, like, you know, video essay watching types, but, like, you know, I mean, I'm sure they're still in there. Not to, like, you know, I mean, because otherwise, we're, you know, we're just not gonna one true Scotsman the idea of, like, an anarchist is one who always acts with, like, the kind of appropriate gravity. Because there's plenty of people who, you know, would see the value in, like, that that form of absurdity or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. At least they're doing something.
They sure are, aren't they?
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That's no one wants to hear that. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's just one of the many kind of examples lately of anarchists in this kind of, like, is the poly crisis, is that like a gay Twitterism? Like a hell world?
That's what happens when nobody in the polycule will take out the trash and somebody has to talk about the emotional labor? I don't know.
Damn.
That was a lot of effort on my part. I'm sorry for everybody.
That's okay. Did I ever tell you about the Maoist throuple that I saw that was having, like, a child, and I saw that the 8 months pregnant, like, one was, like, posted by their like Maoist life partners doing, like, a struggle, like a self-crit session.
That sounds like some people, the Austin Red Guards or whatever.
They weren't Gonzaloists, but I found that pretty funny when I saw that on Instagram.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Bless them, though. You know, it's a hard thing to raise a kid these days. But sorry, that's pretty rude.
I was just trying to think of, like, these people that what was that book, Anti-Racist Baby, but it could be Maoist Baby.
Yeah. Yeah, Repeater Press is pulling my my book Anti-Zionist Baby.
Jesus.
I mean, of course, too, that's, like, another frontier where... That's an awful transition. But that's, like, another frontier in which we see, like, kind of anarchists who want to remain anarchists end up in these kind of, like, really hard moments of, like, ideological, I don't know, like, kind of decrying being an anarchist about things as, like, an ideological purity, but then also finding themselves fairly washed away in the kind of marketplace of competitive ideologies that seemingly either... Yeah, the free market of ideologies that seemingly either offer, like, validation of everyone's, like, kind of personal feelings and, like, sensitivities about things or, like, validate people by, like, offering, like, such a succinct and, like, perfectly explainable and, like, you know, conclusion about things. And, like, that's not to say that, like, I think, I don't think the, you know, the fucking, like, genocide in Gaza is a complicated and nuanced situation. I think it's cut and fucking dry. And I don't think it's un-anarchist to talk about that and stuff. But I do think, you know, there is, like, a kind of difficulty or an uneasiness that one has to have with, like, you know, necessarily aligning yourself with, like, statists or, like, you know, fairly religious, kind of, like, conservative types, regardless of religion, relative to their, like, kind of colonial, what would say, their role within that, like, kind of colonial, like, occupier-occupied type dynamic.
Is this where you want to transition into talking about the other thing?
We're getting there. What's, you make that sound so ominous. We're getting there. But, like, you know, there's that, there is that, like, kind of, I think there's, like, that ability to, like, maintain a kind of, like, empathy and solidarity for that sort of thing, that you do disagree with to the extent that, like, you understand how these things are, like, not anarchist, per se, or, but like, that's also, like, not really the space in which you're an anarchist. I don't know. I don't feel like, I feel like the Mao, like, not even the Maoists, just, like, the Marxists have had their kind of historically vindicated position, like, pretty well served in the last few years. Not to be, like, cynical about it, but, like, I think it has created a lot of people who, for whom a very, like, clear-cut Marxist, like, interpretation of, like, like, U.S. empire and where Zionism fits into that, and, like, a Marxist colonial analysis, I feel like that has been, like, a very stark kind of, or not very stark, like, a very, like, opportune moment for bringing people into that ideological umbrella the last several years. And, you know, I kind of can't blame them, because, like, I don't feel like anarchism offers, like, much much better than that, other than, you know, like,
an analytical framework, sure.
Yeah.
Like,
other than, like, inserting just, like, kind of critique with the kind of, like, with the kind of, like, rigidity of that often. So it's tough. But I feel like, I mean, further than, like, letting yourself get carried away out of too much solidarity, too, like, so much of, like, anarchist formations around, like, anti-Zionist activity in, like, you know, the States and stuff looks so much like, too, like, anarchists throwing their hat in league with just, like, liberal organizations and also, like, to an extent, liberal Zionist organizations, and, like, finding themselves kind of waylaid by the infrastructure and, like, the infrastructure and ideologies and, I don't know, would you say, like, sensitivities or feelings or optics of particular, like, political activities?
I think, honestly,
like being channeled into, like, particular forms of structure or discourse or direct actions that inherently kind of seek to reinforce the values of things that anarchists are probably, realistically, probably more at odds with than, like, the idea of, like, a direct struggle, like a direct armed struggle.
I mean, It's interesting how all of that got dropped anyway. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody cares anymore.
That's not true. I mean...
No?
I mean, how do you mean? Who doesn't care anymore?
Well, this, I guess... The point I think I'm trying to get at is that when you are involved in these liberal organizations, you are sort of cast, you are on the tide of whatever bleeds leads. So I feel like I have seen locally this entire shift of energy and organization that was supposedly like centered around Palestine all of a sudden go to anti-ICE struggle, homelessness, whatever else.
SNAP benefits.
SNAP benefits. But it, and I mean, some of that has very simple local explanations.
I'm kind of like, obviously it was a funding the government was an ass deal that the Democrats caved on, if you're like kind of keeping score, if that's like soothing to you to think about or like enraging for you to think about. But like, I am glad that the shutdown ended, because I feel like if it went another week, they would once, someone would once more propose putting a fucking fridge on the sidewalk that I would have to maintain outside of the info shop I volunteer at. So I'm glad that people put their differences aside and manage to fund the government, so I don't have to like fucking clean out a community fridge that would be humming 24/7 on the sidewalk in front of the anarchist bookstore.
Thanks, Senate Democrats.
Yeah.
I don't think we're actually saying anything that we haven't kind of talked about before. Just this. If you entering into those, it's an agreement, right? That you doing this, the you are part joining this thing, and now you are dealing with its infrastructure,
right?
And all of the things that sustain it, which it being a probably multi-million dollar tax, what is it, 501(c) nonprofit that pulls in a shit ton of money and has its own like marketing wings and marketing departments, and people are making a lot of money off of that. So what are you going to do about that? Like, bring up the Food Not Bombs Conflict and Consensus book to have what your discussion so that people will follow more anarchist-leaning ideas? That's just not going to happen. You're working within the framework of a thing, and it has been designed to kind of operate in a certain way. Good luck with that.
I mean, I guess that's like the whole idea of prefiguration, is like trying to implement the ideas that anarchists would like to see society as by modeling that kind of, modeling and implementing that within our own like spheres of like possibility or whatever. It's fucking gay, but like, I don't know. No, it's, I mean, it's like, it makes sense, but it's like, I don't know.
I mean,
you're fighting an ideological war against people who have, you know, a vested interest in maintaining the kind of social power and kind of infrastructure of their like, well, like fairly well funded. I don't know how well funded any of that is. I mean, I guess it is, but
some of it's quite well funded.
At least self-sustaining or self-perpetuating organizations that don't really need your like, you know, like anarchist methodology to come into it.
Yeah. And they weren't recruiting you for your methodology anyway.
Right.
I don't know. Well, we've talked about this. I want to wonder why we always assume that it's like the liberals who are just one step away from being converted. Who is going to the young, let's see, like the young libertarian club on campus with their Max Stirner books? If you want to try to recruit, come on, why is it always like somebody who's got a little bit of money for your bail fund? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, that is kind of the weird elephant in the room. I mean, like, the fact that, like, liberals are, you know, they're one step away and they are, like, this kind of, you know, bovine mass that we can kind of enlighten by being present around them and, like, being anarchists in front of them. We can bring them into our fold. But at the same time, they're also a step away from being fascists in situations where we don't like what they're up to. So, like, they're not, like, I think they're just kind of, like, this ultimate, like, meaningless thing for people, or, like, their meaning is ascribed to them based on, like, their contextuality, and, like, it's, I mean, I think it just speaks to kind of how, like, anarchists in a lot of parlance just use liberal as, like, kind of a theoretical person, and, like, mm-hmm. like, a theoretical person, like, they use it interchangeably with, like, normie in a way that, like, I don't think actually, like, understands, like, that liberalism is an ideology unto itself with its own assumptions and, like its own, like, vision of, like, a kind of prefigurative utopia that it's, like, kind of attempting to implement. And, like, basically the goal is, like, to create, like, a state so self-perpetuating and self-power, like, self-managing and self-regulating, that it can, mm-hmm. like, host a variety of conflicting political interests, but the functioning of that state essentially, like, allows for that inherent, like, amount of, like, differentiation and, like, conflict within it. I don't think people, like, conceive of, like, liberalism as something that has that kind of stated purpose. I think they consider it, like, this great void of politics that are either yeah, this, like, unwashed mass that could either become anarchists if they just hear the right thing, or they could become, like, you know, fascists who need to be re-educated if they hear the wrong thing, or if their economic stuff is threatened. Like, it basically, like, they don't consider them, like, a real political operation or political subject, which is why, like, when people think about or, like, encounter, like, actual liberal ideology, they're, like, kind of mystified by it in a lot of ways, or confused by it and stuff. And I don't know, I think it's hard to actually, like, reckon with a kind of, like, an anarchist project and stuff without, like, understanding that, like, almost the entirety of the world operates to some degree, most of the kind of, like, poles of, like, political nodes of, like, how capital flows through the world and stuff operate to some limited engagement with liberalism in its, like, ideological form. And I think not understanding that kind of limits anarchists to look for either, like, are they anarchists or are they fascists, or are they something like a communist, which is similar. It's like They view often like Marxists in the same way that like they are either like a fascist if they're doing things that we don't like, or they're, you know, basically an anarchist if they're basically an anarchist that we have some disagreements with, and maybe we can like wake them up if they're someone that we like what they're doing. But they see that as inherently having an ideology, as opposed to like liberalism, which doesn't have one to them. And I think it's like a big misunderstanding, and it kind of makes people think of the world as like this kind of no man's land of you know, like this no man's land of like a void of ideology that's either like, oh, like maybe they're like a democratic socialist. There aren't any anarchist governments. There's maybe some democratic socialist ones, and then there's like fascists, and everything else is contested terrain without realizing that like the great majority of this all is just like it's just all liberalism. Like in its like actual professed ideological formation, it's just different kind of aesthetic characters, like aesthetic characteristics, and degrees to which it is like going to like exhibit that. Yeah, I mean that's kind of the thing with like the whole like, I mean like the anarchists participating in like the Ukrainian military is like they don't see the Ukrainian national project in a lot of ways as being like ideological on some grounds, you know what I mean? Like they kind of have this like view of it as like, well, it's not like this like Russian irredentist kind of like imperialist project that's like invading. It's like this kind of I don't want to say like nubile. That sounds weird. Like it's this kind of like
go on.
It's like viewing it as like this kind of like territory, this like experiment lab where like there is no ideology that exists there because it's like this like liberal place and stuff. But it's like the ideology of liberalism is inherently the one that's like, you know, the one that's like positioning itself towards, you know, a military buildup like NATO that is inherently attempting to preserve like a Western, like Atlanticist liberalism, in opposition to the kind of like Russian polar sphere of influence. And like allows like a certain amount of like, you know, far right nationalism and stuff to exist within it as part of its state form and structure, and like weaponizable kind of paramilitaries that can be incorporated and marshaled into its like kind of defensive formations and stuff of its like ideological state.
Monsters rising from the grave, total destruction left in our wake. Otherworldly is what they say. Whole lot of doom. Trapped in a box, won't be alright. Cosmic destruction, you'll fear that might. Nearing death, you'll see the light. Separate of evil, sin red soldiers running out from Christ. A breath by you and a nectar face. Conquest for death for the human race. Woo! Parade of evil coming down your way. Gonna fuck it up, won't get away. It's deadly quiet, the dark of
Get the bass player, get some more focus. Cheap air.
Tonight, so we got our best as a best friend, Laurens, to fill in. Give it up for Laurens.
I have more guitar on my end.
The next song is a dance song.
What a problem! What a problem!
ground. On a brand new jet. But then I missed my flight. Waiting for hours on end. They still need to see my passport. But my flight's about to land. What about it? What about it? What about it? What about the jet? When on my way to Dublin, we'll see me riding something. To look for good city, lovely men. Your location, I'll do a calibration of everything I need. I work for Corporation, but I need an explanation for the guy at the metro station that I didn't kill. Stop! In fact, better than a terrorist finish it when I'm gone. In fact, never let anybody out your instance when I'm gone. In fact, the man of my kiss finish it when I'm gone. In fact, get the wrong guy in the box, man. Target! Driving away. fight. Never stop in the car. In the heart of the race. Not getting far. But we're ready to chase. Coming to win.
Just a couple more.
Suffocation! This is what I'll do!
Eintritt und ja, auch noch einen Journalisten muss ein Abba. Er ist geboren in Algerien, aber kommt aus der Westsahara, auch aus den Gebieten dort. Und ja, vielleicht erstmal zu Beginn, wo ihr geboren seid, das ist ja auch interessant. Also seid ihr noch im Gebiet der Westsahara geboren oder schon im Exil sozusagen? Wie ist das bei dir, Mohammed? Bist du noch dort geboren?
Ich bin in besetzten Gebieten der Westsahara geboren, ja.
Wie war das für dich und ja, was zu welchem Zeitpunkt bist du geboren da? Was war die Situation zu der Zeit?
Ja, die Situation zu dieser Zeit während der Flucht in die Flüchtlingslager der Polisario im Südalgerien, das war eigentlich eine schwierige Situation bei vielen Sahrawis, weil wir in dieser Zeit wurden wir überrascht von Marokko als Nachbarland. Man hat nicht gedacht, dass wir irgendwann von einem Nachbarland annektiert werden. Und aber leider durch diese wirtschaftliche Interesse und Machtausdehnung des Monarchie in Marokko wollten sie eigentlich die Westsahara für sich haben und die gehen davon aus, dass man auch diese Problematik in einer Woche im Griff haben. Aber jetzt hat eigentlich 50 Jahre dieser Krieg zwischen Marokko und Polisario gedauert.
Du bist dann auch mit deiner Familie ins Exil gegangen, nach Algerien wahrscheinlich, oder?
Ich bin mit meiner Großmutter ins Exil im Südalgerien geflüchtet und während der Flucht wurden wir auch von den marokkanischen militärischen Flugzeugen mit Napalm, Phosphor bombardiert. Und viele Sahrawis, sie haben eigentlich nicht die Möglichkeiten auch, dass sie ins Exil im Südalgerien zu flüchten und damit die meisten sind nur Fuß gegangen, bis eigentlich die algerische Grenze erreicht. Hatten.
Ja, vielleicht jetzt die zweite Perspektive. Wir machen weiter auch in englischer Sprache. Wie war das? How was it with you? Where have you been born and how was it as a young person there?
Yes, thank you for this opportunity to be here in Leipzig. My name is Mohsen Obo. I'm a journalist from the Western Sahara. I have been born in the refugee camps south of Algeria. I had my study between the refugee camps and Algeria, and I am participating here in the activity sharing awareness in Leipzig, Saxony in general and Bayern regarding the conflict in general. We try to transfer the voice of the Sahrawi people here to make the people know more information regarding the conflict in general. The situation in the refugee camps, it takes more than 50 years of the suffering, the silence of the international community regarding the referendum in Western Sahara. We're still waiting our right to decide our future in our homeland, which is Western Sahara.
How's the situation, especially for young persons in the refugee camps in Algeria? Is there a perspective for them?
Looking for help. That makes a you. Keep on my side.
UN-Sicherheitsrat, Resolution 2797, hat eigentlich keine Neuigkeiten für die Westsahara-Konflikte gebracht. Im Gegenteil, klar, es wurde jetzt in der Öffentlichkeit, international, in den Medien, in der Medien über diese Westsahara-Konflikte diskutiert und darüber berichtet. Und das ist ein Vorteil für unsere Problematik, dass man eigentlich davon hört. Von anderer Seite, Marokko, die haben diesen Autonomievorschlag fort irgendwie politisch und in der Öffentlichkeit und in den Medien auch. Unterscheiden, wer sollte eigentlich an diesem Referendum teilzunehmen oder berechtigt und wer nicht. Und damit wurde am Ende die Liste endgültig gemacht. Das ist, besteht aus 86.860 Personen, die an diesem Referendum teilzunehmen sind. Aber die Marokkaner, die gehen davon aus, dass es diese Liste oder diese berechtigten Personen, die sind Sahrawis und damit werden sie diese Referendum verlieren und damit haben sie das bis heute noch verhindert durchzuführen.
Which role play economic reasons for these decisions? I mean, there are lots of natural resources in the Western Sahara area. Does it play a role in these decisions?
So, in general, if we look in the conflict of the Western Sahara, it's an international game exactly because a lot of potential powers like U.S., they get benefit, and European Union, actually, they get benefit with Morocco from the Sahrawi natural resources. When we see the natural resources who are coming from the Ayoum, for example, or Dakhla, under the ticket that they are produced in Morocco, and they are not produced in Morocco, here to Europe. This is against the international law and against the European law. When we go back to the last year, after the European Court of Justice decision regarding that, regarding the natural resources in Western Sahara, it said in its decision, last decision, 4th October 2024, that there is difference between Western Sahara and Morocco. So European Union has to